Welcome to Beyond the Boundary, Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
For the last time this year, maybe we might do a retrospective edition.
Yeah. Gee whiz.
Are we going to do a retrospective one eventually?
Eventually. What's happening next week?
Are I don't know.
A bit of Blackmans.
Well, yeah, there will be some Blackmans next week. And actually, I might have done a little job for the Geelong umpires. There was a bit of other stuff going on,
yeah, wasn't there? Was there some brown stuff that was in a bottle that smells like
yeah,
scotch? Sorry, did I say that out loud?
Bourbon.
Oh, bourbon. Even better. Yeah. On the rocks. Beautiful.
Woodford. By the way.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
How's that all going? Yes. Sporting Globe as well. You two just sit there. We'll get to you shortly, okay?
We're rambling. This is Beyond the Boundary, thanks to Kerr's Hire.
Award-winning.
How are you, Jason?
Yes, good captain. How are you?
I'm very well. This is the GFNL Grand Final Edition.
This is it.
The Battle of the Catholics.
Yes, the bogans, I'm not allowed to call them, and the real ones.
Is it true that you have had legal threats from St Mary's because you've been referring to them as the bogan Catholics?
Yes, I did. Sally Flynn KC, which I need to be careful of because she knows what she's doing. Yes.
Well, you don't get the letters KC beside your name.
She told me on the weekend, just cease and desist calling them Bogan Catholics. So it's just the Catholics.
Right.
It's okay. It's just St Mary's and St Joey's.
It is. And it's the preeminent rivalry in local football. And
oh, yes. They hate each other. We love it.
Friday afternoon. somebody said Sunday off air, and I've got that in my head.
We'll get to that shortly.
Friday afternoon. GMHBA Stadium. K-Rock Football live on FM 955 from 1 o'clock.
Watch Kirsch blow the joint up.
Can't wait.
K-Rock.
We are looking forward to it. But we've got two gentlemen in the studio who are sick of this natter that's going on to open proceedings. They just want to talk football with us. Firstly, the coach of St Joseph's. He returns as a coach on grand final day for the first time in 28 years. Ron Watt, have I just made you feel old? Congratulations.
Well, thanks for that. I've got to say I'm not Catholic. I was when I went for the job interview. And 28 years ago, it's nearly half my age. I was over 28 the last time.
Yes,
by the way.
if we want to find your age, we just have to go to Wikipedia because you've got a page.
That's great. Like, I get in on a senior's discount now. I say, don't give me a ticket to come in. I'm happy to pay $10.46.
And a man who's a little bit younger but whose age is also easy to work out because all you do is you work out what year he played in the Falcons Premiership in 92 and add the year. So that would make him 51 this year.
Oh, gee whiz. There you go. Whack.
Good stiff. I'm 50.
Yeah, there you go.
But he's 51 this year?
Nah, I was 17 as a Falcon.
Yes, there you go. We like that.
Well, happy 50th for this year, by the way. Luke Rayner, co-coach of the Saints. Who are you?
Very well. Yeah, it's terrific. Especially listening to you two bananas.
Oh, you should be used to it by now.
So we really appreciate you both coming in as the Bellarine and GDFNL coaches did. But to you, Ron, for you, as we touched on, 28 years since you've appeared on grand final day as a coach. You did play in a couple more at North Shore as a player after Keasty just rode on your coattails. I'm sure he's listening to this.
How's the drive-bys?
Oh, dear. Keasty had nothing to do with that. And Keasty will say he carried me into that last grand final and gave me a fearful spray at halftime in that grand final too.
But here we are, grand final day, and Braden Ham and also Al Hickey did some media during the week, and Braden Ham said, you know, completely different spectrums coming in for them. It's obviously off winning three elimination finals and really four if you count round 18, but a more cushy ride for your players. How do you make sure that come Friday afternoon that cushy ride doesn't turn into a slow start?
Well, we're not fat pigs. We've worked them pretty hard, and we'll find out Friday afternoon whether we've worked them hard enough and kept them on edge. But there's advantages and disadvantages with coming both ways, really. So it's only advantage for us being fresh and raring to go if we do the job on Friday. So I can't answer your question, really.
After the disappointment of last year, was playing in a grand final the minimum St Joseph's had to achieve this year?
Well, I guess so. We probably didn't sit down and say this is what we've got to do. It was, let's play as well as we can and see where it gets us. But we thought we had enough quality in our team to make it to the last day, and that's proven correct so far. So, yeah, we'll we've got a 50% chance.
you had some quality last year, and I was just looking through. You were able to top up a little bit. You obviously had Joey Chaplin a little bit more this year, but Mitch Schaefer coming in as well. Like, I mean, literally fell on your doorstep as, you know, a team that finished minor premiers last year, and, you know, obviously had the finals disappointment. But it must be nice to be able to just top up where you needed to in terms of a couple of other players.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got to be careful, and be the same with Luke, that you don't bring too many people into your system and destroy the fabric of what the place is about, and let your junior players miss out on opportunities. So there's that fine line, and we've sort of balanced it carefully, but not sure if we've done it totally as well as we would like, but fairly close at this stage.
And probably, Luke, from your perspective, we have spoken all year about the fact that you've had a change in your build, and you are giving some of those players that have come through your juniors now an opportunity at senior level for being more exposed. It's it must be gratifying, and we'll get it out in the open that we said that they were going to be the slider. So we'll all put our hand up and say we were wrong. Tom more so than me, but anyway. but you must be gratified that, and as Ron said, that plan has worked from a club perspective, that you can see the fruits of that junior proposition into your seniors.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, at the end of the day, we sat there in probably November, just prior to starting last year, and it was just an unknown. And for much of the season, it probably still did remain a bit of an unknown because you just don't know what that mix is going to look like. You're not quite sure how those young players might adapt. Can the five-game player of 2024 become a 15 or 20-game player? So can we get some 18s kids from GFNL standard, not Falcons, but GFNL standard to come in and play senior GFNL footy, which I think historically has proven to be a pretty big step. So we were certainly a bit of an unknown. But in saying that, we also knew that we'd retained a good core senior group and still some high-quality players, that these younger players weren't going to be sort of left to their own devices or have to do it alone without the guidance of that experience around them.
We asked Jack Blood this question after the game on Saturday, the preliminary final win over Colac. Was there a moment in the season where you've gone, hang on, this group's going to be okay and we're going to be thereabouts come September? What was it, the big freeze game, where as much as you lost it by a goal, in a cracking game of footy, you more than held your own?
That's a good question. It's one I haven't really thought about, to be honest, but if I had to sort of have a snap answer, it'd be more along the lines of it's almost been a week-to-week scenario because of the youth of the group, and we do know the roller coaster that they can sometimes ride. So I do feel like we've sort of stayed in it as almost a week-to-week notion. Now, we understand there's a bit of a divide in the competition, so you know you're going to, pencil in a few of those bottom end wins, and as the season's grown longer, probably the top seven have become tighter. So we felt like our good footy was good, but we probably weren't convinced that it was going to be a week-to-week proposition, if that makes sense. So we didn't look too far ahead.
Bo said on Saturday after the game he thought it was the MND game against Joey's, where it was the best home and away football you've ever seen. He thought it was probably after that where it was just like it was like a finals game that he thought, you know, that might be the turning point for the team.
No, that'd be fair. Ron runs longer than I, but I've been able to watch a lot of a local footy and a lot of country local footy as well, and it's as good a game of local footy in a home and away season that I've probably ever been involved in, and it was just it was great to be a part of.
When was the decision made, you know, as players are exiting last year? Obviously Keastie steps down, and they go one by one. You lose Ling, you lose Johnston, you lose Minchin, you lose Maishman, and I know I'm missing some others, but you know, Chalcraft goes back to Shepherd. And was there a moment where you go, all right, we just have to strip this right back, and it's time now that these kids that have worn navy blue and green through their juniors, we're just backing them in?
I think for us it was just a total club reset. Jock had finished his tenure as president. Sal comes in as a new president. Bose comes in as a fresh voice, I suppose. I've gone into my fifth year at the club. So he brings in a fresh voice and a fresh outlook. We obviously have an exodus of players. We bring back Charlie Lang as a St Mary's player. We bring in Pendles, and Paddy Dowling comes back as a St Mary's player. So they're probably the three that came back in to roughly replace the 10 or so that left. But, yeah, so I think what we were able to get out of it was just a full reset. And so coaches looked at the coaching program, we looked at the physical program, we looked at the leadership program, we looked at the training program, we looked at the game plan, because it gave us that impetus for something different and some change. And the last 3 or 4 years, you could quite comfortably say that St Mary's are going to be probably in the top three based on their talent. You know, they've got great leadership, they've got great players, they've got, you know, proven game plan, proven record, all that sort of type stuff. But we hit the last 2 years where we went out in straight sets. And I think, you know, that's a combination of sort of different things over that journey. But with all those sort of elements coming together, it was a perfect storm just to have a full reset, and that's exactly what we did.
Ron, we always go to recency, so obviously, you know, everybody's talking about St Mary's. They won on Saturday. They'll do the same with Brisbane on Saturday in the grand final against the Cats. But 2 weeks ago, you beat Colac by 17 points. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, you have been the form team of the competition and have done what you've needed to do. So in terms of, do you think it's been a bit of a bonus for the team and the club just to sort of fly under the radar a little bit, even as the minor premier, which is a bit strange to say, but, you know, like, you haven't had all of that fuss about what's going on?
Yeah, there probably hasn't been as much talk this year as there was last year. Yeah. And don't forget, we had a pretty soft draw last year, so that enabled us to go through undefeated. So we've had a really tough draw this year. We've played 12 of the other top six teams.
Yep.
During the course of the year, which is the most anyone's played, other than G West, who also played 12. So that's been good prep for us. We've had played against a few of the lower teams in the lead up to the final, but that gave us a bit of a chance to manage a few people and put a good training block in and just play around with it with a couple of things we need with the game plan. So
the best part of what I think I've seen from your team is that the players sort of underneath the ones that we always talk about, so the Felix Hendersons and the Tanner Owens and those sorts of players, have improved as players, which has helped you as a team. Would you say that's pretty correct?
Absolutely. Felix has sort of found a couple of different roles this year. Traditionally, he's played most of his time on the wing, but now he can play forward, he can play on ball, he can play half back when we need him to. So. Yeah. So he's become really useful and really improved his output. And Tanner, he actually retired at the start of the year. He got injured and looked like it was going to be basically season ending. He said, "I can't do this anymore." He said, "I think I'm going to give it away." I said, "Yeah, no worries, mate." And 7 o'clock the next morning, he rang. He said, "Is it all right if I come back? Because I'm missing the place already." So
12-hour retirement.
Yeah. So he's had to work pretty hard. This year, he didn't play a twos game until halfway through the year. He played 4 or 5 games and then found his way back into the team and stayed there. So
he's pretty slippery with a two-piece in his hand too, Tanner Owen.
Is he?
Yeah. I played a couple of games with him.
Really?
Yeah,
have you?
Off the hard wicket, gets it lifting quite nicely.
Yeah, right. Slippery in the fourth or the fifth.
I was going to say.
Yeah,
Slippery in the sixth.
There's always hard luck stories. Max McLaughlin, we've known for a while, that was not going to be seen. But the Zach Knights incident, obviously a broken jaw at training, is something we never hear of. And can you just talk us through how Zach is, and have you been able to engage him in any way to stay involved? I know he only played one game since it happened, but to be, you know, feel like he's still part of it, considering he had such an influence on your team through the home and away season.
Yeah, well, he's certainly someone we miss. As a person, we can play in a number of spots and take care of a number of opposition players, but also as a young man, he's great around the club. He's stayed involved as much as he can. He's been along and he's sat in the box. Helped us with some stats the last game we played.
Drinking smoothies.
Pretty much, it's yeah. His recovery's been really good. If you didn't know he had a broken jaw, you wouldn't suspect it. So he'll get himself up and going right. But yeah, it's always disappointing. There is always hard luck stories. And as you said, he did it at training. It was a non-contact drill. He just happened to turn around and one of the players ran past him, clipped him with the shoulder and broken jaw.
You haven't thrown him under the bus, but everybody else has been saying it's Joey Chaplin. I think a couple of people have said on air who it is.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but I don't know. I'll have to review the footage. We don't do footage at training, so we can't review
and,
it.
And the lights aren't good enough for the footage to be any good anyway.
Oh, these lights, unbelievable. Yeah. Seriously, yes. we're going to have to campaign.
You actually can donate now.
Oh, that's right. They have got the campaign, haven't they?
Yep.
We are after donations from Joey's people up until September 30, and if we get enough in the bank, then we can be matched by grants and that type of thing. And that means we can light up both ovals.
If you go to the St. Joey's Facebook page, there's a bit of information there about it. But yes, it's fair to say for a club of St. Joseph's standing, the lighting doesn't meet the standing that the club's held in.
No problems with the other bloke. He just cut the tree down, so that was fine. Their lights are okay at St Mary's, so they're all okay.
You looked good with the chainsaw that day, Rains, just making that tree disappear from the wing.
I think there was quite a few people with chainsaws, to be honest.
I don't blame you either. There's a few going to go up at Drury Reserve next year too.
So McLaughlin and Knights, if you had all your magnets there and unfettered could pick your best team, they're the only two, aren't they, really?
Yeah. And there's a couple of boys who are going to miss out. They didn't get into the 22. Yeah. Gus Humphrey is one who is a Joey's boy through and through. Yeah. And whenever you're coaching a team in a grand final, you always feel really bad and sorry for some of the boys who miss out. And Gus is one that if I could play him, I would because he's a good player and just loves the club, but you just can't get him in.
So same 22 as the second semi at this stage?
Maybe, yes.
Eddie McCoy is the only other one that you would.
Yeah, Ed's probably unlucky as well. He's had a pretty good year, but he's finding it hard to push Joey Chapp out of the way. So,
On St Mary's front, Nick Connors is the watch. Can you give us an update, Rains, as it sits on Wednesday afternoon, knowing within 48 hours' time it'll probably be nearly three-quarter time of the grand final. Will he be there?
So far, so good. So, it was just his injury was an impact injury to the surface of Geelong West. Yeah. So it was a bruising injury, I suppose. So he just suffered some bruising in behind the kneecap, which had caused some discomfort initially. And he wasn't right to take on Colac. And I guess, on reflection now, it was the right decision to make. We were able to get through Colac and give Chip another 5 days roughly to sort of continue to improve and improve his fitness. So we'll have a look at him tonight, and certainly if he presents as 100% and he feels he's 100%, he'll certainly play.
You won't dick around. Basically, if he's good to go tonight, he'll play, but if he's not...
It'll be done and dusted tonight, for sure.
You can't be messing around with that. So that Ryan Pendlebury came in for him. You're not obviously... Ryan Pendlebury certainly playing on Friday afternoon. Does that mean you're going to have somebody's going to get a tap on the shoulder? Somebody will.
Yeah, it will look that way. So, obviously, Chip's well-deserved of his spot, should he be 100%. Yeah. So he comes back in. And
well, it's his field of dreams, isn't it? GMHBA Stadium.
He has a nice memory of that place. He does, yes.
Hasn't paid for a beer in 6 years.
So, so we'll just have to work through that. There's obviously a couple of scenarios at play where we're not yet at the point where we know what that looks like, but we certainly have begun discussions.
There'll be no dicking around. I like that, Key. That was nice. If there's one player that you have to keep an eye on this week from both teams that was like a cat on a hot tin roof, might have played the game before Friday, who's the player that you would be keeping an eye on, Reigns, just to make sure that they're all okay? Who's a bloke who's like, will be on edge for the whole week?
Paley Cockerell, without a doubt.
Really? And because why?
Well, because he gets nervous every week.
Right, okay. No, that's good. So that's good. Matter, that's good intel.
Doesn't matter the opposition, doesn't matter the game, doesn't matter the place, doesn't matter the conditions. He's just a nervous energy.
Yeah, right.
Very anxious little man he is. But
he's a great story, though.
He's a great story. He's a funny man. He's a great personality. He's added a bit of spunk and a bit of laughter to the group. He hasn't played in a senior final.
No.
Lara through and through, and did all of his time there, and hasn't been able to have that experience. So. and had some issues himself to probably halfway through the year in regards to his body and a couple of different injuries. So it's good that he's been able to get going in the back half of the year and gets a chance to obviously play some finals footy over the last few weeks and play in the ultimate on Friday.
Nice. Ron, from your perspective, who's the cat on the hot tin roof? I'd say Webby, but anyway, it might not be.
No, not Webby. No. It's Braden Ham for me. We've got blokes lining up to play on him, so like he'd be worried. Yeah. Oh, do you want me to answer it seriously, there?
No, you don't have to. That's fine. Yeah. Braden Ham is fine. For people who are listening who don't know both teams, Braden actually plays for the Hawks team, so that's fine. That's okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've got too many who are that nervous, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. I usually muck around and, yeah, I sometimes don't see the nerves because I'm laughing at my own jokes.
Right.
The one and only.
He's still doing dad jokes. I love it. It's great.
It is. It's fantastic. Yeah. Buddha had his themes at Leopold. Killer, you're a bit quirky with your coaching, but not down that sort of path that the Buddha's gone down?
Oh, we have little stories and sayings as the year goes on. And, you know, we talk a lot about purpose. We have for 3 years now. You know, the why. Yep. Why do we do what we do? And, you know, just being able to take moments in a game and, you know, look after basics. Well, I suppose, you know, there's one day we're playing against Lara, so yeah, you've got to come up with something inventive out there. So I took my shoes off as I was talking to the players and just sort of dangled my feet, and they're all looking at me. I go, what can you see? And they go, you're taking your shoes off. Yeah, but what can you see? And I had socks that had L and R on them. I said, imagine if I'd put them on the wrong feet. You know, that would be a disaster. But I've taken care of the basics. I've got them on the right feet. So do you reckon we can do that today? Yeah. So little things like that.
I like that. Yeah.
I like that.
I want to see him get dressed up like Buddha. That'd be funny.
Do you know Buddha turned up?
Oh, don't.
He came to the St. Joey's Newtown game, the horror game on where we, I don't know why we played in the swimming pool. And he turned up in a beekeeper suit.
He did tell me that. Yeah. He's a funny bloke, isn't he?
He's an individual.
We're all unique.
Yes, he's very
Buddha's just a little bit more unique than the rest of us.
Yeah.
Reigns between you and Bose, obviously, you know, Saint Socks in 2019 gets wheeled out, especially because it's a similar journey, win in the last round to get in and then get on a tear through September. But have you had a purpose or a motto that's carried you, you know, especially over the last couple of months?
Probably a little bit similar to Ron. It's more been a week-to-week proposition, but our main focus has definitely been in that connection piece. So we've ran with a range of different sort of themes or exercises or games or things that continually sort of have bonded our group together. So, and that's just been that's been building blocks throughout the year, and we feel now at this point of the season and the experiences that they've shared together that they're as connected as they can be, and we think that's going to be important come Friday.
Have you got a coach's pet, Ron?
Ooh, yeah, probably.
Who?
I can't say.
Braden Ham.
Josh and Anatis.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's everyone's favourite.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we love him. We just love the story from playing at Apollo Bay in round one last year to on the verge of being a premiership player.
Yeah. No, I haven't really. Well, when you talk about Webby, he's got a way of making you really like him.
Yes,
yeah,
he does.
Yeah, especially if he has about 38 touches. I really, really like him then.
And we'll tell you about the 38 touches as well. That's more
has
important.
He shut up about the goal he kicked? In the second, because he hadn't kicked one all year.
No, I hadn't heard about that.
No,
he's keeping that for grand final night.
Reigns, have you got a coach? Is there a coach's pet?
It'd be a bit unfair to probably separate them. They're all fantastic, to be honest.
Proud dad.
But if I had to double down,
which I will.
It's the Burke brothers.
Yep.
Yeah. Sam and Hamish Burke. They're just.
How did Sam avoid the Burke red hair? That's what I'm still trying to work out.
He's a rarity. He's the black sheep in the family. Yeah. So, just great fellas, great family, great values. You know what you're going to get every week.
Full forward and full back.
Very good in terms of engagement and conversation and just both so team focused. So, when you've got those sort of guys running around, it warms your heart a little bit.
Mm. I had the great story last week, and in different circumstances, how Oscar Riccardi ended up at North Geelong, and he's been through a bit, Oscar, and he and Pete get to share a great moment last week. Have you thought about what that would be like, if some areas are in front of the final siren? And I suspect Keys will be the first person you go looking for after you, obviously, hug Bose and then move on.
Yeah, no, it'd be pretty special for sure. And I had experience in 22 with him. I was the backline coach in 22 and he was part of the backline group then. So that was certainly, something that we both remember fondly. And obviously was a great experience together, and it's, changes ever so slightly if it was to occur this Friday. But, I think the fact that you've got your son in your team and you get to spend that time just purely as a relationship, part of being coach and player. He's also, it's been fantastic, I think, for us, for our family and for us both in terms of having that shared experience.
He loves fishing too. Has he dropped a line this week?
Well, that's why we do footy together, because I haven't got the patience to go and do the fishing with him. And
he's got his own tinny.
Unless he knows where we're going to catch him, then I'm out there. But Kev's been flipping boats since he was about 18.
Yeah.
So that's his little entrepreneurial streak, if you like. So he buys, he's been buying tinnies and doing them up and flipping them pretty regularly over the last sort of 4 or 5 years.
Yep. Killer, you've had a life in footy. Young Ron from Tokenwall has made a name for himself. Can you give us some numbers off the top of your head? So obviously we know of your success at North Shore, three-time coach. How many time premiership player?
Four-time coach.
93, 5, 6 and 7.
Yep.
Played in all four of those, played also in 98 and...
98, yeah.
At just 98 and done. Yep. Geelong VFL 2002.
Mm-hmm.
How many at Gordon?
Just the one.
Just one at Gordon.
COVID gets in the way, right?
Yeah, correct. Any others?
Well, I was on the coaching group at Geelong, AFL, for a couple of them, the 07, 09.
But as a player and a head coach...
Bannockburn. I played in a couple at Bannockburn tours.
Yep.
That was good fun.
Right.
That's about it. I was looking at it the other day. I've been involved in senior football since 1979. So what's that? 48 years or 47 years or something. And I've had had the good fortune to be involved in 11 or 12, 12 flags, I think. Not everyone gets the opportunity to do that, but that's a one in four. But I didn't get a flag until I was 30.
Yeah. They're hard to win.
Yeah.
They're bloody hard to win.
Range, you played in a premiership in the Waffle, am I right in saying that?
Yeah, so I've only had the two. So the Falcons premiership in 92, which I suppose is underage, so whether you probably don't count that, but it felt like it. Well, I felt like
no,
a man.
You should.
I felt like a man.
weren't you antagonising people from the Western Jets that day? The only footage that survives of that game seems to be you being a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I think I was the... it's not a great record to have, but I think I was the first and only player to have been suspended at Falcons level for about 6 years, I think. And it happened that day in the grand final, yeah.
Really?
You were just trying to protect Fletch. That's all you were doing. Fletch was winning the footy and getting the best on ground medal, and you were just being his sort of mind up.
Would have loved to have been in the room when Turk had a crack. When Mickey Turner was
Mick wasn't there.
Paul Armstrong. He was too. That's right.
He would have looked after you.
Yeah, Bridie coaching.
All fine. You'll be right, mate. You'll be right.
And you took Myrtleford to the 01 Ovens and Murray Grand Final.
Yep.
Against Lavington.
Lavington. Yep.
And they hadn't been in a Grand Final for over 30 years.
1970 was there.
Yep. First and only flag. A very small world. Elijah Wales is an ex-Myrtleford player who you knew his dad Bimbo really well when you were up there in the high country.
Elijah was three, I think, when I was coaching Myrtleford, and his dad was my bench coach because I was a playing coach. So Ian Bimbo Wales, so Lidge's dad was my bench coach. So it's funny how full circle you come back, and Lidge comes to us last year as a 28-year-old and 28. Around 28.
Yep. It's incredible, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So it's, footy's, footy's kind, footy's, memories, footy's fun, and some players and coaches get to experience it more than others. So, You know, from my point of view, I've found it a lot harder to win them and be a part of those experiences. So that never gets lost on you as you get a bit older either.
Obviously, you're in a curry coaching, and obviously we've been talking to you, but can you talk to us about Ben Bosley? We know of Bose, obviously, as a pretty handy player for South Barwon and Ammos, where I think he played in flags at both. His success at Birragurra, he took East Geelong to a minor premiership and, you know, stepped away for a couple of years. What was your knowledge of Bose coming in? Had you had much to do with each other, or was this a relationship basically that, you know, as a coach, as you were forming as you went?
I'd spoken to Bose probably over the last... Not with my time at St Mary's, I don't think, for memory, but I had some previous appointments, whether it was Bell Park or Winchelsea.
Yeah. Winch used to play Birragurra in a practice match.
Yeah, even Geelong Falcons and that. So I'd sort of had some connect with Bose in regards to, you want to sort of come on board or do a line role or that sort of type thing. So I guess he was one name that was that I'd sort of understood was well thought of and well regarded. So it's something that we've just sort of had a... And I ran into him in a coffee shop. Not long after, I think Keastie decided he wasn't going to go on, and ran into him at a coffee shop and just said the question, "What are you thinking about doing footy?" He goes, I'm thinking about maybe getting back into it." I said, "I might have a role for you." And that's really, so it was a bit sort of, opportune, I suppose, to be honest. He's come in. He's, he's a teacher by trade. He's the head of middle school at Covenant College. Yep. So he's well educated. He talks well. He communicates well. Definitely a bit quirky. He's got a bit of sort of left of centre and thinks a little bit differently to what I do. So I think we've found a way to complement each other, which has been good. And I think the way we sort of structure the model as well with the co-coach environment, it does work quite easily, and it's pretty clear as to how that sort of operates on a week-to-week basis.
But the buck stops with you on Friday, is that right?
Yep, I have to front up to Ronnie and the St. Joey's boys. But you never, in the co-coach role, I think, and I'm sure it's a bit similar to a hoodie at Joey's or whatever, if you've got good, experienced people around you, you know that you've got another great set of eyes that can support your thinking or bounce ideas off or bang, there you go, you cop one in the left ear and then you think, will we use it or won't we use it? So so as a co-coach, even though you're not the lead on the day, I suppose, you're never too far away from the action.
Now, you're both going to tell us you're going to win the grand final in the contest, so we don't want the boring answer. I want something from you that's going to be a little bit different that you think you might have to do well to win on Friday. Ron?
What I've seen of the team down there is...
there it is.
Very flamboyant. They back themselves, take the game on. Yep. And, I love the spirit with which they play, and we've got to kill that spirit a bit. Yep. We'll see how we do that.
If you can't kill that spirit, you probably need a sniper from the top of the grandstand aimed at number 23 killer.
Oh.
No, I wouldn't do that. One player. No, I know his mother.
Who presented the Matheson Medal last night, actually.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, Catherine presented that. And Paddy was sitting there. If he hadn't gone overseas, his mum might have been putting a medal around the neck named after his grandfather, which would have been a lovely touch, by the way.
He would have been. Reigns, what do you have to do?
I think for me, both teams are just so even in regards to the spread of players, and I think that's Joey's strength is, in my view, is their spread and their consistency of player. So to counter that, you've got to have exactly that.
Yeah.
You can't afford to sort of take the foot off the pedal at any point in time because they've got the capability to hurt you the other way. Mm. So I think for us it's going to be, the consistency and performance across the group and the length of time that they can play that out.
Well, you have a look at that game we played earlier in the year where you kick 5 in 15 minutes, then we kick 5, and we did the same again later in the game. So both teams are capable.
If you cough that up on Friday, I will be a happy man, and there'll be about 15,000 people will be pretty happy if that gets coughed up.
I'm pretty sure it won't happen like that, will it?
Right now, Friday, 20 degrees between 0 and beautiful. 3 mil of rain. Winds northwesterly. What a shock. We've got northwesterly winds in September in Geelong.
This is $140 million grandstand in between it now.
Turning westerly during the afternoon and then decreasing to 15 to 25 kilometres.
I think they're only just a breeze.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
It'd be different.
It'd be different
to what we experienced at West. Yeah. Yeah. And just a nice touch too, and I suspect you'd have to dig deep into the archives of country footy to find out if it's happened before, but the respective clubs being led by female presidents, Sue Cormack at Joey's and Sally Flynn KC at St Mary's as well, which is just a sign of the evolution of our sporting clubs.
Absolutely. I mean, it's... There's only three, I think, club presidents who are females at the moment across the region. Ali Waite and Sue and Sally.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So we need more.
Yep.
Because as Sally says to us all the time, she's very good at delegating, and I think Sue's very good at it too. So that's how they get it done. They get people involved. I mean, you go to both clubs. There are so many volunteers. There's so many people around the club at netball, football, women's footy, junior footy. It's just amazing to have that support across the club, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can't believe the amount of work that Sue does and the way she ropes people in and sells them
an
unenviable task. Even I'm happy to go and do canteen.
Hard to say no to.
One other thing that I think will help us, and I'm surprised you haven't brought this up, you might be going to, the Hickey brothers.
Yes, 150.
Yeah, so you're aware of that.
So Al's playing his actual 150th for the club.
Yes.
And what it means is that they're actually... And I think for James, it's 145 senior, 5 reserves.
So you say it's not really his 150th?
Yeah, well, it's his 150th open age.
Well, you
game.
Brought it up.
You brought it up. But yes, they will play their 150th.
Yes.
Open age games for St Joseph's together.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, so no.
It's probably been in the paper or something.
Al did some media on Monday.
Okay.
Yes. The other thing is too, if St Joseph's were to win, Al becomes the first player in club history to win 4 flags, which is quite incredible.
Absolutely.
Being the only one left that won all 3, 15, 17, 18. And then there was some great names like Podbury, Furman, Hill and Fitzgerald who won the 3 in the 80s. Which he puts himself past some fairly handy ones.
Yeah, so 3 of those 4 are coming to training tonight.
Oh, magnificent. Yeah,
really? They're not getting a train.
No, I was going to say...
late inclusions.
Dom Podbury across halfback.
I'm sure Brad Furman would still probably go... He'd give Fletch a little bit to work against in the ruck, I would have thought.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm guessing Brad's not the one that...
He's not coming.
No, he lives in Queensland, I think.
Correct.
Up on the Gold Coast or similar. Gentlemen, we really appreciate your time. How many premiership players back from 22? You'll still have a handful.
Oh, I haven't even looked at it, to be honest, Kenny. There'll be a few there, so...
Chip, Keeds, Berkey.
Chip, Keeds, Berkey.
Paddy.
Bloody, Garns, Paddy.
How much footy's Garns got left in him?
Plenty.
Yeah, he just keeps...
I'm hoping half a game.
Just keeps playing on, doesn't he? Yeah, so... he's a unique player. He really is, so... I think as an opposition coach, you look at him and you think, "Oh, geez, you know, how does he actually?
Yep.
How does he actually hurt you, this bloke?" But he finds a way, and high footy IQ, and great appetite for the contest and work ethic, and I think his defensive work ethic goes a little bit under.
He'll be playing in the forward pocket when he's 40. Don't worry about that.
Joffy style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, you've got plenty left.
Like we did with Geordie Kerris and Riley Kershaw, with Peter Riccardi and also Ned Olsbrook, we are very grateful, gentlemen, that you took the time to join us in here at K-Rock for Beyond the Boundary. It just adds a little bit, I think, to the flavour of the week for those that follow the respective leagues. We hope for a big crowd on Friday afternoon at GMHBA Stadium. We could talk about the timing of the game and its position on the calendar killer, but...
Do you want to?
No.
It should be last week, really. It should be last Sunday, and let's play it at a local ground. But anyway, I shouldn't say that.
Good luck.
You know what?
What?
I actually am growing fonder of the blue and green team. Yeah, it's been nice in here with Luke.
Hey, we're not as bad as everyone seems. So
not as big a bogans as Jace makes out.
They're not bogans anymore. They're great people.
Killer, good luck.
All right, thank you.
Luke Rayner, good luck.
Thanks, lads.
Thanks for joining us on Beyond the Boundary. That's Luke Rayner, co-coach of St Mary's and the coach of the team up there, Ron Watt from St Joseph's. We'll be back shortly on Beyond the Boundary.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
So the standard has been set. If you are a grand final senior coach in the future.
Yes.
The expectation is that you will front up to K-Rock Studios to do Beyond the Boundary.
You sign the contract with the club,
yep.
and in brackets, in the last bit, it will be media, Beyond the Boundary. Grand final week, non-negotiable.
Yep.
That's it.
That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, they were great. Yeah, I mean, consummate professionals, been around the sport for a very long time and just great representatives of local footy and their clubs. They're just, they're solid citizens and great blokes to be leading clubs.
Congratulations to North Geelong on winning the GDFNL.
Yes, well done, Rico. Great work. Fantastic.
And to Luke Parker at age 34.
Amazing. Yeah, great. It's fantastic for him and fantastic for the club. And I don't know how often this has happened, but Rico winning two flags at two different GD clubs, I don't think that's happened too often in the GD.
As a coach?
As a coach. I don't think that's happened too often.
Mm. Gee, now you're testing
Yeah, I
me.
Know. So you go away and we'll work that out in November. But I had a thought research. Of that on Monday that I don't think that's happened all that often with the teams. And he did a remarkable job at Bannockburn and he's done an absolutely remarkable job at North Geelong.
Just thinking through the 80s and 90s, nobody at North Geelong anywhere else.
I wouldn't have thought so. I couldn't think of anybody off the top of my heads top of my heads.
Nobody at Bell Post Hill. They were all
Gurge, or
Brad Martin. Stuffer.
The great Stuff.
In 2017.
Of course.
I think he's a regular listener, Stephen Lurie.
Legend. Speaking of the legends of local footy.
Absolutely. Yep.
There we go.
Yep.
All right.
You can
work that out next week after the grand finals.
We'd probably have to go back to maybe the 70s.
Yeah, I don't go back that far, so I don't know.
Oh, we'll give
in terms of thought process, but I was just thinking, like, a remarkable effort from a coach to be able to do that.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a team that narrowly avoided a wooden spoon 24 months ago.
Oh, it's just unbelievable what he's done.
So Luke Parker with four goals
was
a great result. Only multiple goal kicker on the ground. Nobody else kicked more than
one. She's pretty tough darts for most of the day, I hear.
Well, we scored 23-17 at half time.
Yeah.
So if you went out there looking for a free-flowing, fast game of footy...
No, you didn't get it.
You did not get it.
No.
His Excellency Neville Whitley OAM has officially called time.
He has.
We knew it was coming.
We did.
But he used the GDFNL Grand Final lunch on Saturday to announce it. And we pay tribute to Nev at age 85 now.
Mm-hmm.
41 seasons of service.
41 seasons as president.
Yep.
Just remarkable.
So that's half his life.
Yep, half his life and and three wives. Anyway, or three partners. Anyway, yes, no, we were sitting around a table on Saturday night and, I've known him for 30 years.
Yep.
And then I go, he was 30 years, and you know he had a decade before I knew him as president. He's just been, he's been an enormous person in local football.
My first memories of Nev was when he was living out at Indented Head.
Yes,
and he would St Leonard's got into the GD, he would be a regular at St Leonard's games.
Yes,
just keeping St Leonard's in check.
Yes,
and I remember him with that moustache, and he just had it. Nev had an aura about him, and he had a presence.
Still does.
And he still does.
Still does, absolutely.
But even Don Matheson had a presence
about
him.
They all
Les
did.
Ash.
Yeah, yeah.
And Don Matheson and Les Ash are two of the shortest men you'll ever meet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No, but Nev, in his 40s and 50s, with that moustache and, the maroon blazer, it was a statement.
Absolutely,
I privately pay tribute to Nev at a meeting of a body I'm involved in.
A different kind.
Yes. The other night.
Yes.
Publicly, he's been more than supportive of K-Rock.
Absolutely.
Over the journey in my time here.
He's our number one listener.
Yep. And he will be listening to this. So, Nev, congratulations on all you've achieved. Maybe one of our additions is getting Nev in the off-season.
Oh, absolutely.
To have a chat.
Probably
between now and their AGM, which will be in November.
Before he steps down, we have to find him a job in local footy too, because there is no way he's not going to be able to do something in football next year.
Does he just become number one? Does he become patron of the... Well, does he just become like Frank Costa after stepping down as president of Geelong? Does he just become patron of the GDFNL until he's passing?
I think so. And I was thinking even broader, he is the football person of Geelong pretty much now. It was him and Don for a long time.
Absolutely.
So, what does that look like for him? What does he want to do? How do we embrace what he, because you know, 50 years of knowledge and experience, it just doesn't go away overnight. So,
yes, no. Well done, Nev.
How East Geelong going to survive without being...
Well, he couldn't get him over line on Saturday, so I don't know what he's doing.
Couldn't pull his last miracle.
I did tell him that. I said, you told me they were going to be six goals up at the end of the game. But anyway, well, he might go back there and watch more East Geelong. Well, he's been a very good Queenscliff watcher because he's obviously his grandsons play at Queenscliff.
Caleb captains Caleb the ones.
Dill, yep. So I'm sure he'll probably try and spend a bit of time down there as well.
Yep. Can tell you that it's been whispered in my ear that there will be access to Cadinia Park after each of the grand finals on Friday.
Nice.
So not at the huddles.
Right.
But you'll be able to go on the ground. Well, I think keeping the huddles, actually keeping people off the ground for the huddles is actually smart because you lengthen the day getting people off the ground. Yep. If you've got 1,000 people out in the ground, trying to get them back off the ground is probably not the silly thing.
Well, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
Local footy is local footy. That's part of the deal. Like we watch it at West. I think that's a good thing for local clubs to have. But I understand the premise and I understand the process. And, it's got to be a little bit of compromise.
And it's not the first time the GFNL's done that. I remember them when they went back to Cadinia Park in 99.
Yep.
That was part of the deal. That
sure.
The huddles, I think from halftime of the reserves, people couldn't go to the huddles.
Yeah, I understand the compromise. That's fine. But as long as they're allowed on the ground at some stage, I think that will be
So my understanding is it will be post-grant. Unless we get a heaving dump of rain between now and then, we'll be right.
Good.
So it is in the under-18 AFL Bowen Division 1 decider, the all-conquering South Bowen and Torquay. Ocean Grove. Apologies.
Yes.
I was talking to the Ocean Grove boys after the game.
Will be a good game.
Yeah, it will be.
Yes. They're coming from an elimination as well.
As St Mary's reserves are.
Oh, Hayden McMahon and the St Mary's twos.
Yep.
Hey?
Playing Newtown and Chilwell.
That's great. It's going to be a great game.
And then the senior game, of course, between St Joseph's and St Mary's. Now, of course, this is the fourth time I was talking to a St Joseph's person. They're labelling it trying to do the quadrella. Beat Mary's four times in a grand final.
Right.
89, oh, 17 and 18.
Okay.
The Mathis medal was last night.
It was.
And we got a tie for the ninth time.
We did.
Now, Ned Harris. Harris's name is a great name at Newtown and Chewell.
Absolutely.
Dad played there. His granddad played there, playing with his brother Charlie. So well done to Ned. Yeah, 23
well done,
votes.
Ned. Well done.
Jet Birmingham, first year in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Comes from North Warrnambool, where he'd won two Maskell medals.
Yes.
North Warrnambool are playing in the grand final on Friday and will start favourite, I believe.
Against Koroit, they will.
Yes. Absolutely. Their first Hampton League flag. Mm. I think first flag in 31 years. I think 94 in the District League was their last flag.
Yep.
But he joins Alan Woodman and Barney Hinckley.
Barney Hinckley really?
As winners of the Maskell and the Matheson.
Well, there you go. Yeah, and he's had an outstanding season, as had Ned. As has Ned. So well done to both of those players.
Well done to Xavier Hayter from Leopold for winning the Allthorpe.
Yeah.
And Irene Allthorpe was there. It was great to see Irene.
Oh, fantastic. That's
last
good.
Night, and she presented the medal in honour of her, of course, husband, Bill, and father-in-law, Jim.
Yep.
It was great to see her there. Team of the year, Steve Johnson as coach. I think that's right.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. Absolutely.
Because I think 7-11.
We had them falling off a cliff too, didn't we, Newtown? Well, some of us did.
When we play
our crystal balls
back
on Friday. Yes. We'll find out.
Well, I think the phrase was, you've been drinking the Kool-Aid was used about me.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So somebody might have had Newtown in the five.
Oh, right. Okay. All right. Just hold yourself up to... Yeah, that's fine.
So well done. Jet Birmingham wasn't in the team of the year.
Yes. That's interesting.
Following on
Not the first time.
No, Will Baker wasn't in the team of the year. Sorry, Will Baker. Sam Baker.
Sammy Baker and Doyle Madigan last year.
Doyle Madigan last year.
What's going on there?
And I've got a sneaking suspicion. Who won the... I'm just trying to remember. Who won the GD medal? Jack Yates.
Jack Yates.
He was named on the bench.
Just.
Yeah. Do you reckon he might have been shoehorned
in? No. He would have been fine.
Surf Coast signings. A few more have come through. Some players with some experience. Some players a little bit younger as well. Yes. Jace is acting like he's got a mobility scooter.
No, I didn't do that at all. What are you talking about?
Just out of the region.
Yep.
Oh, very quickly, Reece Holwell to Port Arlington has been confirmed as director of coaching.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, he'll be able to help Sam and the rest of the coaches. That's a very good appointment for Port.
So John Mitchell, he finally gets to Port Arlington.
There you go. Finally going to get there. Well done, Mitch.
12 months later.
You finally got
12 months later.
Well done.
It's been some best and fairest decided. Now, of course, winning a best and fairest in a premiership year is something to be highly acknowledged. And so to the man they call Chook, Thomas Schwenison.
Oh, right.
Best and fairest at North Geelong.
Well done. Well deserved. Good
Jordan,
player.
Jordan Kerris, the best and fairest at Anglesey.
Yes. You would have thought so.
And Ryan Abbott, season. Although they...
Had a great season.
He did, yes. Yes. Ryan Abbott, best at and fairest Grovedale. At Grovedale.
Nice.
And Damien McMahon.
At Bowen Heads.
At Bowen Heads, despite Sammy Baker.
Sneaky chance of the Ash, he thought, but anyway, yes. He got beaten by his teammate.
Out of the region.
Hmm.
North Cairns have broken through for a premiership.
Hayden Spiller. No.
Yes.
Yes, he played there, didn't he?
Jason Tom.
Yes.
Cooper Cartledge.
Right.
Ben DeLuca.
There's a few.
Son of Dean, the former St Leonard Tie Flyer.
Oh, God. Bad memories of Dean hitting me in the head. But anyway, with a cricket ball. Keep going. Yeah, oh, that's good. So they got over the line. That's very good for them.
And so well done to
well
them.
Well done, Tom.
So Jace Tom went up there at the end of 2021. No, I think he went to work for AFL Cairns, but he's not anymore.
Yeah.
Took on the coaching role there. I don't know whether he coached them or not. I don't think he did, but he was still playing at age late 30s.
Yes.
I would say... There may nearly be a four on that age.
Much easier to play in the heat of Cairns, though.
True.
Yes.
Ed Damon and Will Christie in an O&M flag for Wang Rovers.
Right.
So Ed Damon last year, after leaving Ocean Grove mid-season, won the Best on Ground medal. Will Christie, who used to play at Bell Park, this year won the Best on Ground medal.
Really?
In the Islands of Murray.
Well done.
So that's a little bit of the news.
Mitchie got done. Mitchie Patton got done.
Did he?
Surface Paradise got done by Victoria Point Redland. So, yes, he kicked four, though.
So, where did Palm Beach Currumbin finish?
They finished in the prelim.
With Harry Benson.
Yes, they finished in the prelim.
Who won the competition MVP?
That's correct, he did. He didn't win the medal, but he won the coach's MVP. But, yeah, Mitchie kicked four in the granny, so keeping up his end of the bargain as always.
Wonder if he's coming home.
Oh, don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Well, he's not coming home to run Surf Junction because Mum's closing it.
Yep. Yeah. Is he coming back to Leopold? Maybe he might go to Bell Park. I don't know.
Oh,
no, just flying out of there.
Right. What else have we got news-wise, Jace? Anything across your desk?
No, I haven't got anything else apart from, obviously, the top five.
Yes, before we do that, though, can tell you that
if
you listened to our chat with Luke Rayner and Ron Watt, K-Rock 955 from 1 o'clock on Friday for St. Joseph's
Here
and St.
We
Mary's.
Go.
We will provide netball score updates as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So the A-grade decider between St. Joseph's and Newtown and Chilwell.
Why? Because they've never played in it before. Oh, my goodness. How are those two going? Powerhouses.
Right. Congratulations to Julia Woolley, who last night had the A-grade medal named after her, and Olivia Cameron, who had the best on court medal named after her in an A-grade grand final.
Absolutely.
Both ladies had no idea.
Oh, very good. Oh, really?
So Julia Woolley... wasn't sure why husband Jace was there.
Right.
She thought he was just trying to get a free feed and get out of cooking at home. Anyway, Jules, fair to say, was overwhelmed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the most amazing thing is that it's being named out. She's a legend. Yeah. She is a legend. Still playing.
Yes.
And got in the team of the year.
And polled 14 votes in the medal.
And that's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. Imagine if she had won the medal.
Yeah, well, I said that on stage last night. I said, geez, I'm glad Ruby Peake and Schlicht has absolutely bromped this in.
Yeah, that's right.
She went whammo.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, great. That's a great honour. And, I mean, her and Olivia both have been amazing for the competition, so well done.
So Ruby Peake and Schlicht won the A-grade medal.
She did.
The Julia Woolley medal.
Yes.
And is overseas.
She is, yes.
And she did a video. So they actually were. So,
right.
So the wonders of modern technology,
yep.
She was able to do a piece to camera and... and send it back.
That's
so good. So I just want to say to Bav Daunt from Newtown Chill, Bav actually facilitated that happening, and that little green room at Buckley's had six people in there trying to get this video to download to make sure it could be in the presentation.
Oh,
at about we went on stage at 6:15. This was still being done at about 13 minutes past.
Oh my goodness.
So jeez. it worked out okay.
Yeah, right.
Right. The last thing we're gonna do is the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is the one. The Power Brokers. Right. Power Brokers.
Can you do 20 to 15?
Let's
please?
Roll through.
20 to 5.
Yeah, let's
20
do,
to 6.
20 to 6. So let's do 20 to 6. So number 20, Peter Riccardi.
Yep.
Well and truly.
Does he go up?
Well, next year, let's just see. This will be an annual event, so that's okay. Number 19, Ron Watt.
Yep.
So let's see where he ends up. Number 18, Steve Cogger. Now, he'll probably possibly go off the list next year because he's not continuing
well,
as president.
Well, no.
Oh, hello.
I'm hearing a whisper that he might have another year in him.
Oh, hello. He might still be number 18. Number 17, Jared Griffin. Now, Jared We'll work out what's happening on Friday. You might go up a few. You might go down a few.
Let's just see off the list.
Let's just see what happens. 16 Dan Payne, 5 premierships on Saturday between the football and netball. So fantastic.
Yes, won the reserves. Congratulations to the Eagles.
And they won 4 of the netball premierships.
And to Torquay's twos. Torquay Jones, as they call themselves, beat South Barwon's twos. Which was an upset because I think South Barwon were chasing a championship.
They were. 15 Matt Kershaw. We love Kersh.
The voice of the people.
Well, you know, when you think, and when I thought about that a bit more, like Riley coaching Amos, Liam playing at St. Joey's, he's been good for the competition as well as the fact that he loves a chat.
North Shore Lara Premiership player.
Absolutely.
And he is sort of Falcons liaison as well.
Is that what his title is, Falcons liaison?
Yes.
I like that. 14 Cam Healy, Torquay president. 13 Marion Sponner, North Shore president.
Where are North Shore playing next year?
Well, in the GFNL, I believe. Number 12, I'm not touching it. Sally Flynn, KC.
Yep.
So she might rise if they get the job done on Friday.
All rise,
thank you. Number 11, as we call Gibbo now. He's just number 11, the president of Colac.
And looks like going on another year.
Of course he will be. He might get in the top 10 next year.
Top 10.
Top 10, Mick Fitzgerald, Ballerine, president and Motowari legends.
I reckon Mick Fitzgerald's got some influence over some things coming up.
There we go. See, that's what I mean. Number 9, Stevie J, coach of the year.
Yes.
Oh, how's the crystal ball going?
Preemptive strike.
Number 8, Ali Waite, re-signed the coach for another 3 years, on fire.
Yes, we didn't talk about that. Yes. So Jamo will go until the end of at least. So I believe he might have had a deal for next year.
Yes, he did. They put an extra couple on
it.
Yes, why not? Number 7, Sean Blood. Toyota. He's going to present it on. Well, somebody will.
Oh, no, if it's St. Mary's. He's handing it to his son.
Front and centre. 6, Mark Neild. The man with the black book. Now, here we go.
Right.
5-1. Number 5.
Yep.
I think he still is the president of Amos. I'm not quite sure because he was wearing a St. Mary's beanie. But Simon Farrell, president of one of the largest clubs in the area. Hospitality and inclusion is a unique skill set for Faz. Knows everyone and everyone knows him.
Yes, that is very true. And I reckon if you find yourself at anything Geelong related on Saturday,
oh, watch out.
Faz will be front and centre.
Yes, absolutely. Number 4, the captain, Tom King.
Oh, no.
Newsbreaker, trusted confidant of so many, surprises many club presidents and coaches with what he knows, sources across the region on and off the field. Well done, captain. Number four, well done.
I've never been called a power
broker. Well, you're a power broker. Number 3, Michelle Gertz.
Yep.
The outgoing AFL Barwon chairperson has steered the ship through some rough waters, wasn't quite able to bring promotion relegation to fruition in her tenure, but it's on the cusp.
Yeah, because do you know what? A three-letter word stopped it.
Right.
Non.
Yeah, non. That's right, non. Number 2, Lisa Patterson, can have the biggest impact over the next 12 months, so we'll see where she goes from number 2. Some big issues to resolve and pilot. Her work with the clubs will be crucial for the next stage of football and netball in the region.
Yep.
So she's number 2. And number 1...
He hasn't been on the list yet, has he?
OAM.
Yeah.
The great Neville Whitley. Anyone that can be a Football League president for 41 years deserves to be number 1. He won't be probably next year.
Yep.
When he speaks, people listen, has turned the GDFNL and its clubs into a behemoth off the field as well as on.
Yep.
And
his vision of what the old Gent dry cleaning building could become when pokies became a part of the Victorian environment. It's probably kept 4 clubs alive.
Well and truly. Probably more.
Yep.
Over time.
Well, does Imbolay ever come out of recess?
Probably not.
Does Winchelsea come from the Colac League?
Absolutely not.
And Werribee Central's not back playing in Western Region?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's many a story that he will be. I mean, it'd be great to write his autobiography, his biography before,
I reckon I know a bloke who probably would.
There would be some storytelling, but well and truly the number 1 power broker in the joint at the moment.
All right, so 5-1, please.
Yes, 5-1. So just so we can hear his name again. Simon Farrell, number 5, the great Faz. Number 4, the captain, Tom King. Number 3, Michelle Gertz. Number 2, Lisa Patterson. And number 1, we just call him OAM.
Yep. Sir Neville.
Sir Neville Whitley.
This has been a lot of fun this year. We will do a reflective piece at some stage.
We will reflect.
It won't be next week.
Let's not reflect next week. No, let's just have a break.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you to everybody who's joined us through the year.
Absolutely.
It it makes the show. The player profile is going. We've got some.
We've got something else, have we? Next year. We've got a little bit of a difference. Nice. Change is good.
Yeah. So
innovation.
Well, because the thing is, too, like occasionally, like we don't try and double up on guests, but sometimes, depending on what the news is.
Yes, and what's happening.
It has to be.
Yes. Like, and we do. There's a couple of favourites. We like the Damien McMahon of the world. It's okay. Of course. Because he comes in.
Yep.
And he's personable. Yep. And he's had a bit of a scenario at two clubs. And we can take
He went to the World Test Championship.
He knows Jared Garner. So we can take the P155 out of him as well. So sometimes we do that.
So thank you to everybody for joining us. Thank you to K-Rock for facilitating it. Thank you to Kurz Hire.
Yes.
Quality equipment for hire and sales.
Jared and the team.
You can invoice now.
Huh? Oh, perfect. Oh, fantastic. Little nice little invoice at the end.
And K-Rock Football live from 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon. K-Rock 955 and K-Rock Football.live, AFL Bar and TV at 2 o'clock. That's not our only game of football to broadcast on the weekend. We might as well use this platform to say 6:30 tomorrow night, K-Rock Football.live, Geelong and Hawthorn AFLW, Rocky Cranston, and our great mate Jane Birch.
Yes.
Birchie's going to do some AFLW.
Birchie sat with my wife last night at the Matheson, I believe. Yes.
And then Saturday from midday, the big one, the Cats and the Lions.
Let's rip it apart.
That was Beyond the Boundary, a K-Rock podcast for footy freaks. Love all things footy. Head to krockfootball.com.au and we'll catch you next time.